Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast, where apparently we're no longer going to talk about War Machine and Hordes now.
That's not true. We're going to do one caster on a forecaster forecast.
So anyway, my name is Trevor, and I play Scorn, I guess.
You do.
I know, but I'm not even sure that pertains to our podcast anymore.
Well, we could. So I'm Jay. I play Grimkin. I've been playing Old Witch Tree, which has been a lot of fun.
That's the one caster in Grimkin that
calls to you.
That does call
I will
you.
Say that
that's because that's her true manifestation.
Well, I don't like the model at all, but rules, you know. I love.
Well, it's a War Machine model, so of course you don't like it.
War Machine models I do love. Fenris, I love that model.
One of the things I will say about Old Witch Tree is that she is a caster that I have to start practicing on the clock because she has so many options.
Oh, really?
That it's very easy to like start your turn.
Fall
to,
into the indecision trap.
Like, okay, it's been 5 minutes and I've done fucking nothing.
Still haven't decided if I'm going to give that Jack focus.
And I also play Pandemic Legacy, and I have beaten season 2 because I am
amazing.
Truly
amazing. Truly. And I'm Josh, and I play Minions, the Canto Bight of factions. That's the name of the casino.
What we really ought to do, we were going to do a four-caster four-way with one caster masturbating, but... Well, we really and then
just leaving all the innuendo at the door.
What is happening here?
And then we're going to talk about the new Star Wars movie at the end, and so we'll give you warning if you haven't watched Star Wars at where to stop. We're not going to just go straight into the spoilers, but
apparently you already know the name of the casino.
Yeah, there's a casino in it, by the way. Spoilers.
It's a published book, so I figured that was fair game. That's literally the name of the book. It's like 5 short stories.
I didn't know.
I haven't read them.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, carry
you completely
on.
Lost me at some point during that sentence.
We might have to do a prelude though on Star Wars, and like I haven't seen the nerd community this divided ever since Civil War.
I'm basically disowning my brother.
Were they really divided on Civil War?
Yes.
I mean, they all loved it.
I'm saying on which side people take.
Yeah, yeah, they're divided. There are a lot of people who choose the wrong side.
There was Team Cap, and then there was everybody.
There was
the
wrong people.
Oh, yeah, my God, do you people. It's time to throw down, bitches.
That's just a preview of what's coming, really. I mean, I'm contractually obligated to be Team Cap.
I mean... I guess. But it seems like your moral compass should actually have you be on the right side of history.
I don't disagree that my moral compass might give that impression. But, you know, contracts trump everything.
You just had to say Trump.
All right. We're not going to go that dark.
Okay.
All right. News and announcements while we figure out the one caster that gets the privilege of sharing the stage with this discussion.
Sure. So news and announcements. Mise en Minis, you should buy their fine widgets and tokens and gadgets and everything that's amazing.
All Team Cap members own Mise en Minis.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Really, Mise en Minis are the only people who might be able to bring the nerd community back together. Because everyone can own amazing Muse on Minis widgets.
I'm off.
We've crossed a lot of bridges in our friendship, but this may be the one that is too far.
Doom, chain attack, civil war.
I mean, in my defense, my husband, when he does like the superhero races at Disneyland, he has Under Armour.
Yeah, you're
contractually obligated to be Team Iron.
It's Iron Man, Under Armour, and he looks a lot like Tony Stark.
Yeah, your husband is more Iron Man than Iron Man himself, frankly, in terms of the look.
So I am kind of contractually obligated. I will say we were sitting in the Star Wars screening on Saturday morning, and they have the trailer for Infinity War.
Yes.
And everyone's like freaking out, like, oh my God, this is amazing, which it fucking was.
Yes. It is a super good trailer.
And then Brian's sitting next to me, and Captain America comes on screen with his beard, and Brian's like, that fucking traitor.
What? He could still be mad at him after that amazing line? Get this man a shield?
Oh, I was getting weepy right there. Yes, he. Brian will never.
Never forgive.
Correct.
Understood.
I'm not sure if you've met Brian.
I have had the privilege.
Yeah. He has the ability to. Like, if a grudge dies, he'll, like, call him the taxidermist. And
he's basically a grudge necromancer.
Yes. I guess with Discount Games, Inc., the stuff we'll say is that you should contact me at j@discountgamesinc.com for Voldemite pricing with deals so good they cannot be named.
You know, I feel like we're missing an opportunity that there's not a Voldemort at Discount Games Incorporated. Email. You need to get on that for 2018. I'm just saying.
That might risk the wrath of the J.K. Rowling.
Oh, there. You're right. Let's see. Can you spell it weirdly? You know, like Voldemort.
I don't think that really qualifies.
I could probably do like
Tramadol.
May not be named at
gmail.com.
At discountgamesinc.com.
Okay, I think that's going the right direction.
That's I guess it for Discount Games Inc.
I feel like I should ask for Gloomhaven news from Discount Games, but
oh.
But that's probably also a loaded question. Never mind, go back to the Team Cap, Team Iron Man.
The audience would probably appreciate hearing this tale of woe and ineptitude.
Much of the information is public.
Oh, it is?
Has this gone out?
Oh, it's he posted on his website. He told everybody why they were going to be delayed.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all over. If you're a Gloomhaven...
Is it flame war-ish?
No. In fact, most of the community is supportive of it. I don't agree
with it. What? Oh, my God. Community. Okay, so here's the situation. I put in pre-orders with multiple distributors for Gloomhaven. One of my distributors, my main distributor, is competent and proactive and was like, they set things up to have Gloomhaven shipped directly from China to their warehouse. And so, you know, last week they had a ton of Gloomhaven arrive at their warehouse and they cannot.
Cephalofare Games, because not all distributors have it and not all buyers. Customers would get it on the same date has basically told everyone that they're going to set up a street date, which they have not announced yet as far as
they've just said, quote unquote, January.
Yes, that is their only
not date. Even a year.
and they're basically waiting until all distributors have access to the game before setting the street date, I'm assuming, and then at that point the game will go live. In some cases, some of the people who are waiting for this game have pre-ordered it with their local game store or with their distributor for nigh on a year.
Like yeah.
Some of the first pre-orders were a full year ago. And there are many people who have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
And there's people like, say for example, your name is Trevor Christensen. You had the option.
I love Trevor Christensen.
You had the option of either.
He's much nicer than Trevor.
backing the second Kickstarter or ordering it through your FLGS. And if you didn't do the Kickstarter, you are getting it later.
Well, and to be fair, some of the funny thing is I know he's concerned about people getting it before other people, but like some of the Kickstarter guys have had it for a full month.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick got it.
I'm raising my digital hand. Oh, yeah, he's had it longer than
me. He's had it way longer. Forget than you. That he had guy. It 3 weeks before you did. You just barely got yours this last week, right?
It was last week, yeah.
Yeah, there are Kickstarter backers who still don't have it. But, I mean, you're because of the number of backers and the number of shipments that have
yeah, to happen, I mean, you can't get it all out the door at the same time.
You can't get it all out the door at the same time. And so now you've got people who've had it for a month and a half, and there are people who even backed it through Kickstarter who won't get it until, like, maybe a day or two before the street date. So you've just got this wide range of people. And instead of trickling it out, he's decided he wants to try to do another mass shipment, basically, through distributors to local gaming stores.
So my distributor is like, oh, yeah, we have the street date. We can't sell it.
We have a warehouse filled. We have a
warehouse filled with Gloomhaven.
Big
that
boxes.
We would love to ship for
it's gonna
before Christmas.
Our tax year.
Right. That it's going to be on their inventory for taxes. Fucking them over. I mean, sometimes the gaming industry is just a marvel to behold.
Yeah, I mean, if he really wanted the street date to go out equal distant to every distributor, it should have been shipped to a warehouse that he controlled. And then from there, ship to the distributors.
Right.
If you're gonna let distributors receive it direct, you don't have control over their warehouse. You shouldn't, at least.
Yeah, it's just a situation of where all of the distributors are terrified of pissing off manufacturers because there's always the threat that a manufacturer is going to go exclusive with Alliance
with whatever distributor.
Whoever.
Yeah, which that whole thing kind of pisses me off too. I mean, that's obviously their business decisions, but it's irritating that
the market is so small. It's such a terrible business decision on like
every
conceivable front. Like everything you just said was wrong. Because like the manufacturer loses the Christmas momentum.
Yep.
Like hugely.
Yep.
Not only do they lose it, they murder it. And animate it as a horrible abomination and then remurder it. Like, they're
not you're saying like, oh, this is going to kill demand for Gloomhaven. Well, they can't keep up with demand, even with them trying to.
That's my problem, because it's the gaming industry that this is unique to. That would never.
You think so?
That would never happen at Mattel. Like, somebody would get fired over it. Because there's so much momentum and so much importance of hitting this. Yeah, I mean, the problem is that we're such a niche, small industry that they're like, eh, whatever, it doesn't matter. Gloomhaven's going to be number one on the top board game.
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point.
We don't give a shit about whether or not it happens before Christmas, because we don't have to.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about losing, about millions of dollars.
I don't think it's not just don't have to. It's an issue of this is a guy who has made a great game, but that doesn't mean that he's a great businessman.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's, if you go read his post, there are plenty of fans who are blowing smoke up his skirt telling him that he's the greatest businessman ever.
Distributors should not share that assessment of the situation. And not just from this, but
I understand. I look at it and I just scratch my head and go, wow.
Here's a related one. I don't know all the details on this, but I'm in several game industry Facebook groups,
mm-hmm.
and one of them, it was people in Canada posting that they had like 2-3 weeks ago, they had a cutoff with the exclusive distributor for Asmodee. They were so behind on their orders that if you wanted to have something guaranteed by Christmas, the order had to be in like
March.
Yeah, basically. So, I don't know. This fucking industry.
It is a big part of the gaming industry.
I am opening up some rifts today that I did not realize I would gaze into. Sorry about that, Jay.
No problem. So are we ready to talk about Civil War at this point?
Is that your way of saying that you haven't actually picked a caster that we can?
I think Trevor has.
I have? No, I have open. Not.
Okay, so justify to me your wrong-headed support of Captain America.
we're giving up all pretenses. This is we're going to the Muse on Minis edition.
Of Janet. Okay, so this is the closeout episode of the year.
It is.
It would make sense that
That all pretense goes out the window. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but okay, starting in 2018,
this is gonna end poorly. I'm just saying.
Oh, I mean,
this is the start of Chain Attack Civil War.
Okay, look, I just want to be allowed to grade The Last Jedi in Chain Attack fashion. I don't care about Civil War. We'll have the Civil War discussion. That's fine. But don't you deny me that.
Okay, we will.
That amusement.
Are you saying that no matter how late we've gone, how long this episode has gone, we're going to continue on until we have graded The Last Jedi.
That's correct. Right.
All right.
Yes.
I understand. I'm going.
That felt very Faustian.
While Trevor starts spouting
truth, righteousness,
lies, and things that will like make.
Why do I have to start? Ear. Why can't Team Captain start?
Because I can't rationally justify it.
You can't rationally justify why you
I
would
think so.
Avoid government intervention in every little part of your life. Do I need to explain more than that?
No, I'm just saying I can't rationally justify like why I think
why you don't think
Steve
people,
Rogers
why,
is the
why
best.
Humans should not be registered.
I mean, wait a minute. Which team am I? What side am I supposed to be?
You're on Team Cap. We're anti-government right now.
I don't think we're anti-government.
Minimalist government.
That's not true. Yeah, we're not anti-government.
No, the gig is up.
This is
an anti-government movement.
We are pro protecting the little guy.
Okay, same thing.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I got. I'm just saying, like, you're gonna have the reason and the rationality and the et cetera.
I mean, we never had to have this conversation. I walked out of that movie knowing that Jay would be all on board on government programs and registrations.
Yes.
I wasn't shocked by anything. I don't know what else you want from me.
Okay. Cutting too close to reality. We can talk about Star Wars. So this is something that I had a friend send me a screenshot, and it was of Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
And
are we going to warn prior to spoilers?
Spoiler alert on anything that we say. Listen
it's
at your
fair,
own risk.
It's fair game. Yeah.
Correct.
You should tune out if you've not watched it yet and you don't like spoilers.
Right. Okay. So, Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, critic rating 94%, audience rating 97%.
Okay. That's all very appropriate.
Okay. The Force Awakens, critic rating 93%, audience rating 88%.
Okay.
All right. I'm with you so far.
Star Wars The Last Jedi, critic rating 93%, audience rating 55%.
What?
So
what is going on in this candy coated heart of darkness?
So to be fair, some of those ratings that's a pretty big disparity, but some of those ratings have cemented over time. We're talking very early.
You're saying like Empire Strikes Back has got a whole lot of...
Yeah, I mean, you could
of...
have watched it on video multiple times to form your opinion prior to Rotten Tomatoes ever even existing to cement your whether you like it or not. The Force Awakens is on both Amazon and Netflix right now, I believe. So, I mean, like, its accessibility is out there to everybody. So there's a much bigger number of people who've seen it multiple times and a number of people who can check the check mark whether or not they like it on Rotten Tomatoes. That's maybe a little anecdotal of my evidence, but I'm just saying.
I would say that is definitely true for Empire Strikes Back, but with
it's
Force
not
Awakens,
as true for Force Awakens, right? Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
it's not true that people have seen it multiple times and have and there's more votes.
Well, no,
I'm sure there's more votes.
Just saying, not as much. Like
I'm saying that, like, I don't know. I think it said that, so let's see, the audience score on Force Awakens was 88%. And yes, the 55% may move up as more people vote,
et cetera. Yeah, that's the part I was conceding, that even if it moves up, it's never going to be close.
Right. I mean, there is a huge difference in opinion between the two movies.
Right. I have a question. I know we've already left this behind, but if we had a fan poll amongst all of the people out there that watch MCU movies, do you believe that Team Cap, Team Iron Man would be 50-50 like that, basically close to 50-50.
I think it might be 60-40.
Yeah, I like to believe there's more right-headed people in the world.
60-40.
I bet Team Cap would have the 60.
Probably, yeah.
You do?
Probably.
So anyway, do you think that that's,
I will say a, that's that a like, fair analogy? Some of the most obnoxious and condescending people on the internet are Team Cap as well.
So do you think that's a similar analogy here, that part of the reason why this is getting a 55% rating is that we've got a similar ratio of people who love, people who hate?
Oh, I see what you're asking.
I guess I don't see what you're asking.
I mean, you're asking if like the choice between to love or to hate The Last Jedi, is that a similar moral choice between
Team Cap? No. I'm not trying to equate moral choice between the two. I'm merely saying...
Are you asking if it's the same proportions?
Yeah. If it's similar proportions. Like, this is based on nerd lines. There's a half the group hates it, half the group loves it, and that's why we're getting a 55%.
That's what it feels like.
I think... Yeah, I mean, I would probably, again, put it in, like, the 60-40 camp.
There's 60 that love it, 40 that...
Probably 60.
I think that's probably right.
Okay.
And then we have currently ambivalent over here in the middle. he claims. That's Trevor, currently ambivalent Christensen.
Well, depending on what topic we talk about, I will rave or I will rant. Because there are portions of it that I love.
Oh, I'm excited then. All right.
There are portions about it that I absolutely hate.
To set the tableau, just to make Josh irate.
Are you trying to lure? Yeah, you're trying to lose me out of the gate. Thank you.
Are you really not a fan of that word?
I hate that word in freaking board and card games. Like, call it something cooler.
So
Race for the Galaxy was the original offender. Yes, it's not your tableau. It's your empire. Okay,
no, it's totally. It's, the rules say it's my tableau, Josh.
Jay, I'm gonna need a new microphone soon. These are the things that I draw the line in sand on. Yes, congratulations, Jay, for pushing that button.
I can't even. I guess it was one last jab at Captain America, but now we're ready to move on and discuss Star Wars. So, Discount Games Inc. did a company party. All three of us attended. It was early Saturday morning of the just after the
which. This is a total old man thing. That is the greatest time to watch a movie, I've decided.
What?
Oh, my heck. I can't do late night anymore. Like,
Speaking of old man, the night before, I started a game of Twilight Imperium at 6:30 in the evening four new players.
Oh, my God.
And two of them did not show up for about 30 minutes after the scheduled start time.
Did you pick the Winnu so you could win fast?
No, I actually pulled the Winnu out.
Oh. Sad.
I actually went easy on them, but some of the others that had played at the table did not go quite as easy. But, my wife ended up winning. But regardless, the point is that at 4 a.m., we finished, and I said, just leave it out. We're going to go to bed. And I let
everyone
go
to bed for like
3 hours. Three and a half hours.
Yeah, okay.
And get up and go watch this movie. And then after
I see you come into the theater.
You didn't see him stumble in?
Uh-uh.
I didn't know. He was already seated by the time I got there.
I saw you. I don't know if you were already there and then went out and then came back in.
Yeah, leave and come back in.
Yeah, I saw when you came back in. I probably came in while you were out.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so then after that, I went home, cleaned up all the TI4 stuff, and we played D&D all day long. So anyway, yes, we saw it early morning on a Saturday with all people we knew, pretty much.
Carry on, Jay.
Okay, so we watched it. I guess when the movie ended, what was your initial reaction, Josh?
I felt like I had just stepped off a fantastic roller coaster, which is not a great analogy for an old man like me, because really roller coasters make me sick at this point in time. My point is, I had a ton of fun through the movie, and I was like, there were some totally cool things that happened there, and I love this part, and I love this part, and I gave Jay the thumbs up, and then I went to do adult things. I don't remember what I had to do after that, but that was my initial impression. I was walking away, touchdown sign, arms in the air.
There were... So I almost felt like I had enjoyed the movie, but there was almost like a shell-shocked feeling after watching it.
Okay.
That's probably a pretty good description.
Do you want to elucidate on that? Like,
and
why?
I don't know how well I can, but why don't you try first?
I'm not sure I can. I walked
out. Okay, let me ask you guys this.
Numb.
What was it for you guys? Did it feel a departure? I'm not going to say size of departure. Did it feel a departure from
what you would consider to be a Star Wars
no
formula or story. It did not feel like that. No, okay, I just wondered if that's why you felt shell-shocked.
So part of why I think a lot of people didn't like it.
Okay.
And when I say this, they deny that that's the case, and so maybe I'm wrong. But I obviously there's a lot of the Star Wars formula within this movie, but I think that it also goes against
the formula.
The formula.
Okay.
I feel like it breaks a lot of Star Wars tropes. So for example, if you take the plot line where Finn and Rose go to, you know, turn off the tracker.
Right.
Like one of the tropiest tropes of Star Wars is that they do a harebrained one in a million plan and it works and they save the day.
Okay.
And they did a ridiculous, stupid plan and it didn't work. And that's like the first time ever in Star Wars that it didn't work. And
so people feel like that whole plot line was like a waste.
Yeah, I've seen a
waste
of
their time. Right.
A lot of people are like, why did they even have this plot line? It was complete waste. It was boring. Rose is a garbage character, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I can't say, I can't say they're wrong that if they say like, I did not enjoy this plot line, because that's a subjective thing.
Yeah, but that's fair. But so let me ask a question first of all. First of all, can you help me with a spectrum of characters, okay? So Jar Jar Binks is the butt end of good characters. Any arguments there?
Butt end of characters, you mean?
Yeah.
He's, like, easily
he is the worst
character in Star Wars.
In Star Wars, ever.
Okay.
He's still amused.
The worst major character. How's that?
Okay, that's fair. I'll agree with that. Worst major character. I can't think of minor characters, but
I could think of a couple that you would probably like that guy.
So I know that we won't necessarily agree, but who is the greatest Star Wars character?
Yoda.
Oh, dang, that's probably the right answer.
I don't think so. I think it's Luke.
I mean, I was going to say Han out of the gate.
Oh my God.
But but I'll go with Yoda.
But
in
your defense, you did name one of your children after Han.
That's true. Now, a caveat on the Yoda. Puppet Yoda or CGI Yoda?
The only right answer is
Puppet Yoda.
All Yoda is good Yoda.
Okay, fine. but Puppet Yoda is best Yoda. Okay, so that's our scale.
Okay.
Jar Jar to Yoda. Okay, so where does Rose fall on that scale?
So saying Jar Jar is 1 and
Yoda's
10.
20, yeah.
10.
10.
We do scales of 1 to 10.
I know.
This style goes to 11.
Fair enough.
I'd say she's, at this point in it, she's a 5 or 6. Maybe she'll get better, but
okay. Anyway, my point is, like, I didn't hate her. I thought she had some really fun moments, you know. But if you told me that she was like a 3 or 4 on the scale, I'd be like, okay, that's. I'm not going
to
argue that.
I, to be fair, you have to be outright like you have to be offensive to get down to the 1 range,
right?
Like, you have to basically annoy the hell out of.
But couldn't you be like super like just boring and end up down there too?
No, I don't think so. I think you actually have to be actively.
You have to actively detract. Like, when this character comes on the screen, you're like, your enjoyment of the movie decreases as he's on the screen.
Okay, to be down at the Jar Jar level.
I don't see her like, I don't necessarily see her as high as a 5 or a 6, but to me, she felt like a bit part throughout the whole thing. Just a player in the background that wasn't really a main character. Yeah. So to me, she's more like a 4 because it's slightly below average, but she's not. I didn't find her offensive.
Right.
She didn't make me mad.
I was. So, go ahead.
The counterpoint is that, like, I saw a friend on Facebook who did a post who said, I'm going to say what no one else is willing to. If they take out Rose and the Porgs from The Last Jedi, then it becomes a good movie.
I'm just like,
what the ever-living fuck? So let me get this straight. Like, there are things that you can be upset about in this movie, but saying that like Rose and the Porgs or what's wrong with
you can say Rose might be wrong. I won't fight that. But the Porgs are just fine.
The Porgs were amazing. Please market to me, Disney.
Right, they have. If you do a search on Amazon, last time I checked, 736 results for Porgs. My children walk around the house.
Are there
going,
fried Porgs?
They're so cute.
That is amazing.
They do. My boy.
And their plot line was also awesome, for the record.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with that plot line.
Chewbacca vegetarianism was hilarious.
Like, I don't understand why people are upset over cute things. I mean, it almost feels like they're looking for something to be pissed off at that point.
That is not something you can say is not part of Star Wars.
Because it's
everywhere.
Right, because this is basically The Last Jedi's Ewoks, correct?
Yes. Yeah, except not fucking stupid.
To me, the Ewoks are in the Rose category. Like, they're not offensive to me. Like,
and I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum of both of you guys. I have actually pretty fond memories of
you. You love the Ewoks.
say,
I love
the Ewoks.
I will say that I actually like the Ewoks. The only issue I have with them is it still like grinds my gears that they like overthrew the Empire. Like these they have like wooden spears and they're taking out the Empire. I mean, come on.
So does it bother you that a hobbit took a ring to Mount Doom? That is a pretty common trope in
fantasy
literature. Yeah. Is the small over.
And it's also like if I detach myself and go back to the you should read John Scalzi's review of
The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
okay.
And his third point in it is that he kind of the way he deals with all like the plot holes and the science fails and all that stuff in Star Wars is he just kind of looks at it as a myth. And
I don't have issues with science fails.
Yeah, because I mean Star Wars is a fantasy movie to
Star Wars is I mean in everyone's favorite Star Wars film, they get out on an asteroid with little gas masks and they walk around looking for Minox. You can't tell me that that's an appropriate attire for the deep part of space.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it was inside the belly of a space worm, so that's totally different. That's totally
and
okay.
They knew that
no,
then.
I don't think it's...
Oh, wait, they didn't.
What?
sorry. So I have no issues with any science fails in...
I will say that...
In Star Wars anywhere.
No wonder the rebels are getting their ass kicked left and right if they're spending their money on weapons development of a concept as stupid as those fucking bombers.
I mean, continue explain you yourself. What? I'm waiting to form an opinion on this.
I'm too offended by this.
You watch them like they're these lumbering bombers that are coming up, and all they do is die. They have to get like in extreme close range to allow gravity, which doesn't exist, to drop these bombs onto their opponent.
The sweet spot.
Yeah, I mean, basically, all they are there for is to die.
I thought you were a supporter of this film. What is going on over here?
I love this film. But there are things that you're like, what?
Visually,
that is every Star Wars though. I mean,
if you dig into the tech of Star Wars, correct. You will lose your mind.
Correct. This isn't as bad as like the Gungans with their rainbow balls that they're throwing at their.
Okay. Look, can we just make an agreement here? No more references to Gungans for the rest of the podcast.
Prequels were going to be gone.
No. I'm okay with the prequels.
Oh, okay. I do have a quick question.
Okay, so back to the Porgs. I just wanted to get back to the Porgs.
Okay.
So Porgs are Ewok equivalent. Are they Jawa equivalent?
I don't think they're Jawas.
You don't think Jawas are cute?
Teeny. I think they are cute. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. You said there's cute. There's like a Porg level cute thing in every Star Wars. I was trying to decide what they all are. Is that an exaggeration?
I don't necessarily think that's true.
Okay.
But there are Porg things. I mean,
have to be cute, but like things that are easily translatable into toys is probably a better.
Oh, well.
So like C-3PO.
Jabba's Palace, the little guy that picks his tail.
I mean,
there's a million things you can find like this in all of them. And it's okay. I mean, originally this was sort of intended to be a family cross-section film. I mean, it's supposed to cater to children, and that's okay. And as nerds get older, we need to understand that the Porgs are part of that.
Well, actually, so I have to ask that now real quickly. How did your kids like this movie?
Oh, I'm sure they loved it.
I don't think I don't know how a kid could watch this movie and not just think it's the best thing.
Especially like the closing scene with the broom. Like,
was that the closing scene?
Yeah, it is.
You know the scene I'm talking about, right? Like, that's like freaking every...
I don't think that didn't resonate with my children.
Really? Man. Okay. Then maybe it's just because I'm an old man. Because that was basically me as a child.
Right.
You know?
Like, sure.
You watch a Star Wars movie, you go out, you find a
freak. I agree. But the kids, my kids, they latched onto the Porgs, the crystalline foxes.
Mm, the Pokemons, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the things that they cared about. I mean, the space battles, the lightsabers. But the little end, which was the subtle... Force using the grabbing clue, the thing that didn't resonate at all with them. They didn't even notice it.
So last night I went and watched it again. So I've seen it two times now.
I'm jelly. Carry on.
And on my second viewing, I'll say that there was one thing that didn't bug me as much the first time that became the thing I liked the least.
Okay.
In the movie on the second viewing, and that was Poe's mutiny.
Oh, it didn't bug you the first time.
It did, but not as much necessarily. Like, Like,
just because he went too far?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know what? He should be, like, getting executed or something at this point for what he did.
Certainly thrown in the brig.
Yeah.
But isn't that... that was also a trope. So was that another trope that they played with? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's the trope of the plucky rebel goes against the authority
right. And
puts together the harebrained scheme and or it works.
His trope was, I have to learn to listen to the wisdom of my superiors and I can't defeat everything in the cockpit of my X-Wing.
Which is gone now, by the way.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I think we're past that point, don't you?
I just love saying that phrase.
So,
anyway, so it did bug you? Did it detract from the film?
Like, the thing I don't like about it is that it... I had a visualization of what Poe was like.
Yeah.
And who he was. And I think that that goes too far as like what I would like him to do.
So, Josh, was there any point in it that bothers you?
You're talking about during viewing?
Not necessarily. You could break it out and say during viewing and then maybe upon.
I was going to say during viewing, the only thing that made me maybe cock my head just a little bit was, and I still thought it was such an awesome scene, but when Leia basically like comes back from the dead, essentially, like, you know, and force pulls herself back into the ship, I was like, so Leia's basically the greatest Jedi master ever, and I don't know how I feel about it.
It's a really problematic scene.
It is problematic?
Yes.
Because there's never been anything like it before. There's never been that sort of, like, fly through space.
But didn't she basically, she just, like, pulled herself into...
Yeah, there's people showing...
The ship.
I mean...
At that distance?
People fly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She is the greatest Jedi master ever,
clearly.
When
has anyone ever flown?
Okay, so we watched Luke sitting like a Buddha, floating above the thing. If you do that much force in space, you're going to be flying.
I love that we're basically allowed to mix the mysticism with actual physics and be like, here's the cake that I baked for you of answers and stuff. So I mean,
I will say that scene is the one that bothers me the most.
That's the one that bothers you the most. Yes. So here's the thing.
The thing that's disappointing about it too is that it's like, I don't know.
It didn't feel that necessary, right?
It did.
It did not feel not necessary correct. I mean, they could have rescued her. She could have just been hurt. I mean, they wanted her to not be in command during part of the movie, which is fine. There's lots of ways you can do that without her.
The bridge was hit. She could have been hurt there. She did not need to be sucked out into space.
See, here is I think this is the chaotic and effective me or the Cthulhu lover in me, whatever. Like, what kind of bothered me about this scene or made me kind of raise my eyebrow is I'm like, that would be so awesome if that's the way they sent her off.
Right.
Hey, guess what? In war, like, terrible explosions can happen. And
I felt like it lost all of its weight.
Yeah.
I thought she was dead. Right. And I would have been heartbroken. I probably would have shed a little tear.
Right.
Instead, I'm like, wait. What? WTF? What just happened?
Right. And I think it also would have been cool to almost like this sin of omission with Kylo Ren. So he has his finger there, like he's going to blow up his mom, then he decides not to.
Right.
But the people that are next to him blow him up.
That he was leading.
He doesn't do it. All emotional weight.
Right. He doesn't do it himself, but he's part of a machinery that kills his mother. And instead...
It lost all emotional weight for me. And both for what it does to Kylo and what it does to the story. Like, if you're going to remove that character at some point, which you obviously probably have to at some point.
Yeah.
And
that's the other part that doesn't make sense. Perfect opportunity is that I don't understand why they didn't do a reshoot at that point, honestly.
When the actress did pass away.
When she passed away, it seems like, okay, we're going to redo the
movie. Give her this amazing send-off.
Where she does die here and the other parts.
And honestly, there, if you think about it, there's not a lot of scenes they would have had to have shoot.
No, yeah.
I mean, the story really would have had to change.
She wasn't that... From what I understand, episode 9 is where she was going to be even more important.
Yeah, when she was going to fully come into Jedi Mastership. Here's the thing. So the only other part of the movie where she basically to use her to lend emotional weight or gravitas, mm-hmm. right, is in that salt mine bunker thing when Luke walks up and
they have
essentially their goodbye, right?
Right.
So was that not worth it?
No.
That was. Is it even a close trade off? Do you feel like? Okay. That's fair.
I think you could have had that same emotional attachment with, say, Chewie.
Well, the truth is, you could have that same emotional attachment with her as a Force
ghost. He has a brief thing with C-3PO.
Yeah, those.
Oh, and R2. And R2.
I know it's. I know they're not his sister. I know it's different. But I think that for the audience, it's your time to say goodbye to Luke. It is not necessarily his sister's time to say goodbye to Luke.
So anyway, my short answer to your question, which we've now answered really thoroughly, is that's the only scene that I would even consider describing as a fly in the ointment. But I still love the scene so much that I couldn't stay mad at it.
So. I want to go over a few other things real quick.
All right.
One of them is, it seems like another common complaint that people have is that in Force Awakens, J.J. Abrams kind of was like building up these different storylines as like being these important things. And then...
Things like who was Rey's parents and like who was Snoke, that kind of stuff?
Correct,
yeah. Okay. What other ones were there?
I think those are probably the main ones that people are...
And maybe also what happened to Kylo...
I don't think those are the only ones. I also think the future of Finn was probably a pretty heavy consideration.
Does anyone care about Finn?
Oh, man. Thank you for saying it. I feel like I'm supposed to, but like...
Well, let me rephrase. I did prior to this movie. At the end of Force Awakens, I was excited to find out what his future was going to be.
Okay.
I didn't realize that he was just going to be a bit part, not unimportant in the next movie.
I wouldn't say he's a bit part.
He's supposed to be the Han Solo kind
of, isn't he? I think he's dressed like Han Solo.
He's a bit part.
I
thought we'd overcome the whole cowardice thing in the last movie.
Yeah, right.
It was like central plot point here. There's a lot of things that bug me about where Finn's character went.
What would it take to redeem it in the next movie for you?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that right now. That's the top of my head.
So, do you feel like those complaints are valid about him basically like shitting on the plot points that or the things that had been built up by J.J. Abrams?
Oh, do I think that as a complaint, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing: if you ask me if I think a complaint is valid, I'm almost contractually obligated to say that to you it is valid. I am a great validator.
Okay.
But
you don't share it.
Yeah. I think that's it. I don't share it. And because in the end, I liked what they did with the stories here.
One of the things I'll say too is that people, you know, before this movie came out, I had a friend ask me like, you know, who do you think Rey's parents are going to be?
Right.
And I'm like, you know, honestly, I can't think of someone
that would be a good answer.
I would like. Yes.
So I noticed on Facebook there was I saw them several places, but one of them was a Google Doc of some people that were starting a pool, and each person put in, you know, $1 to the pool for each guest, or they could put in more.
Okay.
And basically the number of...
Oh, and it kind of builds like a market that would anticipate.
Build it up to a market to guess, you know, percentage-wise. And some of the... And like, there was one guy who basically put a dollar down on everything he could think of.
Okay.
Trying to win. Because if he nailed it, he got the whole pot if he was the only one that guessed. Well, some of them were like effing ridiculous, like Luke and Leia's daughter sort of stuff. I was just like,
oh wow, they went Game of Thrones out of the gate.
It was like across the board weird stuff.
That
like,
is funny.
The funny thing is I don't think there was a single person who guessed nobody's. Parents. And here's my issue. My issue is not with the idea that her parents are nobodies and that she was just.
Straight. I think that's actually cool.
I don't mind that.
Right.
My issue with it was how it was delivered.
Right. The way that...
You mean the fact that it was Kylo Ren that said it? And so you still don't know if it's actually true?
On second viewing...
I think she knows that it's true.
I think he's like, you know who it is. And she's like, my parents were nobodies. And then he says like, yeah, they, you know, they trade you in for drink. And...
Okay, so I have questions about this.
I just feel like it had no emotional weight for her.
For her, okay. I have questions about this.
Okay.
She goes into the dark cave.
Uh-huh.
And
which we will henceforth refer to as the dark side seaweed asshole.
I will, of course, say
seaweed sphincter.
Seaweed bunghole, but okay. She goes in there.
Is swimming just like a force power that... She has, because I'm assuming she didn't learn to swim in Jakku.
She surfs on top of the
sand. She probably had to get into liquid tanks.
It was kind of on second viewing, kind of like a doggy paddle, not exactly Michael Phelps. So I'll allow it, I guess.
All right. I appreciate that. So she looks in that mirror, you know, does the fun snapping and all that kind of, that was fun stuff, and sees herself at the end of it, right? Uh-huh. So is it a dark side lie? Is it setting up? I was like, I was honestly worried by that scene that I was like, oh my gosh, they're basically going to tell us that like she formed out of midichlorians. I was having midichlorian nightmares.
That's fair.
Right there. We're not safe from that yet, are we?
Bold prediction, I think Disney will never again
use the phrase.
Never utter midichlorians. Thank you. my impression of it was that it was the view that every shade was possible for her to become. That she could be everything from the greatest light to the darkest dark.
To the dark dark. Because she's so powerful.
So
okay.
That was my impression, but that could be completely wrong.
This is a just wild speculation on my part. I'm curious what you guys think of it. But like at the where he's training Rey, where Luke is,
mm-hmm.
there's that little pool, and the pool...
Yes, that has like the Jedi symbol in it. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I
don't know if it is.
It is not a Jedi symbol.
Okay, you're right.
It basically looks like a Buddha that is sitting there meditating, and one half of him is black, and one half of him is white.
Really? I'd have to look at it more closely.
And there's also symbolism in the movie of like, for example, Rose's amulet that is basically half of a yin and yang symbol.
Right. That her sister had in the bombardier.
Correct. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Had the other half, I guess.
It also has like Luke saying, you know, the Jedi Order needs to be destroyed. It has allowed all these things to crop up. Do you think that they're going to go to something that's like a gray Jedi or trying to? And it seems like one of the things he's saying in this is that if you build up an extreme white, that there's going to be
an extreme
dark
to come
develops up, yes. Part of it.
So you're asking me if in the end Rey is going to become true neutral,
yes,
Jedi.
Yes.
You mean both Kylo and Rey?
Oh,
Kylo's,
no,
Kylo's dying.
It's just,
are you sure?
No.
Dude, that fight scene, I had a ton of fun in that fight scene, the Kylo Rey.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought it was amazing.
The payoffs in the parts that were good.
That were payoffs,
really fucking good in this movie.
Yeah, I guess I think that's a pretty good description of what happens with me. Like, the dizzying highs are so dizzying that I don't, lows don't bother me that much.
There's some parts of it that I'm like, I mean, okay, whatever.
Okay, go ahead. Let's talk about it. Talk about the part. The new... weaponry of the rebellion.
So there's a lot of people who are bugged by
one of the greatest scenes, for the record.
It is one of the best scenes in the movie. The jump to light speed that becomes a weapon that is like, oh, so this completely changes Star Wars. Now weaponry is going to be completely different. And it's not, because of Star Wars, and they're going to forget this.
I'm sorry. Why do they think that it changes anything?
Because there are people that are saying, like, because now they're just going to have droid piloted ships that will light speed through entire fleets. And like,
this was so devastating. And
which economic powerhouse is going to be able to build ships that have jump drives in them that can do such things?
The First Order, clearly.
I mean, this is a rebellion. It's not a rebellion weapon. I mean, there's no way you can afford to outfit a ship.
Do you think the First
Order is
going to start light speed jumping dreadnoughts through planets?
Why not?
That would be amazing, actually. Can we do that?
I have no issues with the weapon whatsoever, other than the fact that if you think that it's going to become a new weapon, I think you're discounting the ability to build it.
Look, let's face it. If Admiral Huggs had his crap together,
he's my least. He is a two.
Oh, really?
He is.
Wow.
He is eking his way
approaching
down.
Approaching Jar Jar. Okay. So two things quickly. So if he had his crap together, he'd have shot that shit before it went to light speed anyway, and they wouldn't have had that.
Correct.
That victory, I guess. Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah.
Second question. So the Poe Admiral Huggs joke at the start of the movie. I'll hold for Admiral Huggs. I'm holding
right,
Huggs.
Right. Huggs. It's Huggs.
Yeah, but he says Huggs.
Oh, does
okay. That's what's funny about it. Poe screws up his name like three times, and the guy's like...
With an H?
I think he's tooling with you.
Got a message from your mother.
Was that like Jar Jar level jokes, or was that...
No, Poe's fine. All that stuff's fine.
That was
his
funny.
Reaction to it drives me nuts. His
I, so
his weak-ass, like, like stance? Like,
we will destroy you.
How in the hell does a man like that ever get into position of power? Like, he has no backbone whatsoever when it comes to real power.
He's a rabid cur.
Well, why would he have?
Why would he ever
backbone when Snoke is the person in charge? Right? It's not like.
But he doesn't seem to have backbone when he's dealing with like his
inferiors either. Or yeah, whatever
his inferiors. He doesn't seem to like. He's a whiny child, even more so than Kylo Ren. Like, I don't know what the hell.
Whoa.
What is that character? I despise him.
Okay. The start right. That's of good to know. I mean, the start of Episode 7 has Poe doing a joke as well. Like he's
yeah. Who meeting, talks first? Do yeah, I talk first? Like,
do I talk first? You talk yeah, first. Yeah,
right.
I do think that the having a your mama joke in Star Wars was kind of stupid, but
is whatever, that a your mama I joke? I read that. Why is that called a your mama joke?
Because he's like, I've got a message from your mom.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Okay.
None of that bothered me. Hux bothers me badly.
That is, okay, good to know. Hold on, I've got to cancel my order for a Hux action figure for Trevor.
He bothered me in Force Awakens.
Actually,
as well.
Another thing about it, I'm getting a Hux action figure for Trevor.
That would actually be pretty amazing. Anytime I can have targets for shooting, I love it.
You can get one for Brian. He loves redheads.
Oh, interesting. all right.
So you guys didn't give me away in one way or the other. Do you think that there's going to be a Grey Jedi in?
Yes.
No.
I'm putting money down on yes.
I'm going to say no.
They will. They're not going to call it a Grey Jedi necessarily, okay. But it is going to be a Jedi that takes from the light or the dark side of force as necessary to get the job done.
What job is that? This is the true neutral argument of druids from second edition D&D. I'm sorry, but there is no neutral.
Isn't the argument that you maintain balance?
Yeah, that's the same argument that the druids in second edition D&D
made. That's what I'm saying.
And it's an awful argument.
Well, you didn't say it had to be a good argument.
I also believe, I think it's either Old Republic or some extended universe, which granted, some of the EU stuff was like fucking
pretty
awful.
Freaking trippy.
Yeah, but yeah. It gets into some Grey Jedi stuff, but we'll see.
I mean, obviously, can there be one? Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Does it work philosophically? Not really.
Oh, man.
Maybe.
Dude, it comes with a little messenger droid, Trevor.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kidding.
I've seen that. When you do a search for stocking stuffers for 5 to 13-year-olds, that is one of the results that comes up. Trust me, I've already seen that action figure. And like hell, that thing's ever going to enter my house.
So we are contractually obligated. Josh said that we had to
grade
the Star Wars.
In Chain of Thought.
Wait, we're not even going to talk about Snoke?
Oh, we can, yeah.
Sure. Greatest death ever.
Just
Yoda-level Star Wars death.
Yoda-level Star Wars?
It was that good. I'm just saying it was that good of a death.
You're saying that the death of Yoda was that great?
The death of Yoda was pretty cool.
So did you like the death of Luke?
Yes, actually, I did. I actually liked it a lot. As a matter of fact, I loved the fight.
Okay, well, obviously, that climactic fight between
Kylo and Luke
is like the ultimate payoff of the whole movie, and it's fucking awesome.
Okay.
Do you think that's the ultimate payoff, really?
It's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. It was so good.
It was, and like that, the whole, the visuals of that salt planet.
Oh,
is
super
just
cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like that was worth going to the salt planet. Like even like the squiggly lines of the ships as they're coming out. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah, dude.
So a couple of things. One thing while we're on the salt planet, I like the idea of knowing that it is like a salt. There's a salt mine there, and it's a planet that has a lot of salt on it.
Right.
I do not like the way they exposed
it. You didn't like that the trencher guy licked it and spit?
Yeah, that's stupid as hell.
Really?
They could have, on the path there, they can go, we're going to planet such and such. It's made of salt. They could have done something that would have felt more Star Wars-y, but having a split second cut to a trooper that you know nothing about and having him have a voice line about how it's,
derp-a-derp, I'm going to pick up some dirt and test. Oh, look, it's salt. I didn't even know that before we got here.
What about his cool commander that walked out with the sweet white beard and the binocular thingies?
What about that?
That guy wasn't worth it? I'm saying that scene was worth that. Wasn't the scene wasn't worth that even?
Well, you could cut out the part where he's like, derp, 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 I'm gonna taste the dirt.
This feels like a Porg level complaint to me.
Yeah. I'm with Jay on that one.
Really?
It's Porg level.
It didn't bother me. That he's like, I'm gonna pick up some stuff off of the ground and stick it in my mouth.
Trevor, not all these people are like fully developed.
I mean, I've watched on a scale of The Last Jedi to Prometheus. I mean, this is pretty tame.
I didn't realize that was the scale we were using.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So anyway, Snoke. So you asked me before we started recording, whether or not how I felt
at the end of my first viewing of the movie, Snoke was my biggest disappointment.
Okay. Wait, what was your biggest disappointment at the end of the second viewing?
Poe's mutiny.
Oh, the mutiny. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Sure. So I don't have an issue with taking the sacred cows of anything and throwing them out the window. That has never bothered
me. And or slicing them in half with a lightsaber.
Correct. It is the way in which it's done. So the part of Rey learning about her parents being nobody doesn't matter to me. I think that's a cool plot point. I'm happy with that. Okay. I just didn't like the way it was executed. Okay?
Okay.
Same thing with Snoke. I don't mind Snoke being killed in the second movie inexplicably
by
his apprentice. That's fine. What I dislike is a big setup. If you read that in a book, this big setup about this character, and then just randomly they just died.
Oh, do you mean the end of the Game of Thrones book one?
Yeah, you'd be reading Game of Thrones, and you'd be like me. You'd be pissed as hell. You'd throw it to the side, and you'd never read that shit again.
Why did they kill Stark?
So that's why I don't like it, is because there's no explanation of who Snoke is. There's no where did you come from? Why are you here? How did you get control of the First Order?
Where did you come from? Where did he go?
Yeah, where did you come from? Cat Knight Snoke?
Cat Knight Snoke. So, like, that's the part that bothers me, is that we just randomly...
Is the not knowing about Snoke that we have even this, at all?
It's not the not knowing, it's that we set it up like we're going to explain it, and then we have this little trivial killing of it.
Well, how much of that was... So, before the prequels came out...
The prequels? Okay.
Yeah, before them. So, like, when the first trilogy came out...
Uh-huh.
Like, say at the...
Oh, you're saying, how much did you actually know about Palpatine?
Right, say at the end of...
Return of the Jedi.
Okay. We didn't...
Vader throws him down the shaft. Yeah,
we didn't really know much about Palpatine.
Sure, I agree. That's also the first of the trilogy. At this point, we're on movie 8. You cannot introduce a character in movie 8 in a setting that's already been done at the head of the First Order and just say, yeah, this guy came out of... This super powerful Jedi just came out of nowhere. Nobody's ever heard of him before. He's obviously old. He should have been around at the time. But nope, don't know who he is.
Why is he obviously old? I mean, that's kind of ageist, isn't it? Just because he's like butt ugly. Let me ask you this in response to your Snoke concerns. How would you feel, because there is precedence for this in the comic books, how would you feel if he were just a poorly reincarnated or resurrected Palpatine?
I would accept that more than just no explanation.
Whatsoever. Really? Okay, interesting.
The one explanation that people were throwing around the internet a couple years ago, back when The Force Awakens came out, was that he was, I can't remember his
Plagueis?
Name. Yeah, Darth Plagueis, the one that taught Darth Sidious how to keep himself alive.
Oh, interesting.
And that just...
The one, if one you, of their... And here's some of the fan theory behind it as well, or some of the supporting evidence. So in the prequel show... Palpatine is meeting with Anakin.
This is in Clone Wars.
At the opera, and he's like, you know, that you could even, there's rumors of some that have overcome death or whatever.
Right.
And if you look at the score, John Williams has is like the, you know, the ode to Darth Plagueis or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
And then when
Snoke
notes.
Appears.
Right. When Snoke appears in episode 7, it says something about Plagueis.
Oh,
in the
I think
the
it just
score.
Had similar notes to this, like the song is
sure,
very similar.
I'm pretty sure the score actually
it's
said
like
something
Requiem
about
of Ode to Plagueis or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
Regardless.
Okay.
My point being, I don't really care.
What if he comes back in episode 9?
That's fine. I'd be fine with that. In fact, they would make this whole plot point better for me.
Okay, interesting.
But the point being, I don't care who he is. I just want a little bit of, just give me a tidbit of why he's here. You know, give me a small blurb as to, you know.
He's like the Yoda Sith. He hid out on a planet for centuries.
I would have been fine with that.
Okay.
We it got feels nothing,
like,
though.
It feels like it was almost.
That's bad storytelling.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, it feels like it was almost a failing of The Force Awakens, but with The Force Awakens, it could have been like building up for a reveal in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. We never
this,
got the
and
reveal.
Then it never happened, and so they could have either had even just a brief something in The Force Awakens, or had a reveal in this one. But
what if it was like even
either.
Just? What if it was even just like in the opening
it could,
crawl?
It absolutely
where it was
could
like,
have been. In
you
the,
know,
yeah, I would have been
Supreme
happy
Leader
that.
Snoke, who you know hit out on a planet for millennia, has you know risen up and he's kicking butt.
I mean. Whatever it is, I don't really care. If he had been Darth Sidious's apprentice at the same time as Vader, a second apprentice that he'd been setting up.
Whatever,
I don't care what it is. But give me something. Give me somebody in the front of the First Order and tell me nothing about them and then have a trivial death of them like they were supposed to be this super important person.
All right, well, I disagree with the trivial part of the death, but I get what you said.
The death is trivial because there was no explanation to its death, not because of the way it was done.
Okay, that's fair. Yes, Jay?
I think it's sort of funny, like, the things that we get spun caught up on. He
has 55% rating on
it. And self-admittedly, he's like, you could add one sentence into the rolling screen and I'd be happy.
And I'd be fine.
But... You know, it is what it is.
I think that's what happens in my brain.
If he was a nobody like Rose, then I wouldn't have cared. But he's he's a
Trevor. Love is the fifth element. Love is going to save us all.
Oh well, I agree with
that. I need to watch that movie again. Is that really the point of that movie?
Yeah. Yes, that's the whole point of the movie. Are you serious? You don't know the point of the fifth element?
I remember loving it, but I'd forgotten that was the point. That's awesome. Spoiler alert, guys.
I think we're past the statute of limitations on the fifth element.
All right, Jay, I'm ready to grade. Okay. I want to grade.
I have put down, I created
Wait,
these
no, no,
categories
we're not
myself.
We're creating new categories. We're using the same categories.
No,
feet.
Fuck no. First one, plot.
Okay. So we're grading this. I forget. Is this a 10?
This is 1 to 10.
What exactly is the plot? Can just give me a 5-second synopsis of what the plot is.
I thought you just said it was the fifth element. Love
the classic Act 2 where everyone gets their ass kicked.
is that really a plot, or is that how the plot should be unfolded?
To me, the plot was the First Order basically wins, and Hope is crushed down to a Millennium Falcon-sized spark.
Okay. Do you think that it executed that well?
Yes.
I think the plot is the realizations that the activities in the past have been complete failures.
Complete failures? Wow. Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's... Okay, I don't know if this is the plot, but there's a lot of...
that's not necessarily a plot.
There's a lot of this theme that... Because to me, the journey of Luke in this movie is recognizing... mistakes.
We'll get to this in a second.
Acknowledging them and overcoming them, basically.
Do you think at the very end that Luke has basically accepted that the Force is becoming so strong that he cannot... There's no amount of thing that he can do to bury Force-using people. Like, it feels like that's what he's... At the beginning of the film, he's trying to stop other people from using the Force, basically get rid of the...
By devil. Not, like, talking about
yeah,
it, by
talking,
cutting
by
himself off
anything.
From the Force.
And I think he realizes at the end that something is awoken, the Force maybe.
Thank you. Well
and done. That I mean the Force powers we see in this movie are more powerful than we've ever seen before.
You mean out in the movies? Because if you get into the comic books and even in the books and stuff, I think you see
powers. People flying through space, people projecting themselves through
people,
light
people
years of distance,
okay,
fighting a real lightsaber battle where lightsabers hit.
Do they hit? I wanted to ask you that in the second. I didn't
a
remember.
A lot of it is dodging around it.
But they do hit.
Like, my favorite move is the Kylo's lightsaber goes right over his nose. I don't remember the lightsabers actually contacting.
Okay, maybe they don't.
I don't think they do.
The point being, we've never seen anything like that before,
I think
where someone has projected themselves that far across the universe.
I think it's a lot of Kylo, like, swinging and his lightsaber going down and hitting the sand.
Sure. That's unimportant. The point being
that
we've never seen anything like
that. I agree with you. In the movies, we probably have never seen something
have
that.
We've seen things that strong in the...
Well, so to me, the like strongest force power I've ever seen in a comic book was Palpatine literally having a bank of clones. Like, he has a planet filled with clones. And as Vader threw him down the shaft, he basically sent his spirit to one of the clones. And was born again as like a young Palpatine.
Okay.
That was in one of the comics.
Okay.
So that feels as powerful as that, is what I'm saying.
Probably more so.
Yeah, I guess so. Overcoming death versus overcoming space-time.
Okay.
Comparable. So for me, the plot is a solid 9.
I wish that there was a camera on Trevor's face.
Even my co-host can't go that far.
This is... I'll also throw in there that this is the longest Star Wars movie ever.
Right. And I didn't feel the length. That's part of what I
a lot for of me, people who don't like it did feel
right. I would totally understand that. Like, if you were not, because to me, even the casino plot, I was having fun. I was like, oh, that's so silly. That guy just filled BB-8 up with coins of BB-8. I mean, let's face it. The real plot of this movie is that the droids are the true heroes of the Star Wars universe.
They've always been.
Well, I think it's super highlighted. Like, BB-8 is the most powerful droid user in the history.
That pisses a lot of people off, too. But, you know,
did whatever. It?
Oh, yeah.
They're just like BB-8 haters,
him,
or...
Yeah, like him subduing these guards, or him...
With his...
AT-ST.
Him...
Oh, yeah, the 42, AT-ST, I know, bothered a lot of
42
people.
42 fingers out to be able to enable the weapon system. That was a little ridiculous.
So fun, though. It was so fun.
I think you could have done it fun without...
Being quite that ridiculous.
Without the Swiss Army knife of fingers coming out.
That's fair. Anyway, go ahead. You boys give me your rational
my
number.
My lower part on the plot is, like, the whole... Like, I understand. I like that Finn's harebrained scheme failed.
Uh-huh.
But it was just such a fucking awful plan.
Yeah, and let's go fly to this planet and find a guy that we don't know and see if he'll actually do something with money we don't have.
Well, that's freaking Maz's fault. That's not Finn's fault.
Well, technically, I think it's the director's fault, but...
I'm with Jay on this one.
And also, like...
Maybe the writer.
I thought it was weird, too, like... So you have, and maybe this is just another science nitpick, whatever, but you have the rebel ships who are like, okay, we're not going to jump because we'll get fired at, and so we're going to do our normal thrusters and speed away, and we're lighter, so we're going to...
be able to stay outside of range.
Be able to stay outside of range.
Right.
Well, they got, you know, a certain distance away, and then that distance never increased.
The First Order also never sent any of their, like, cruisers around to intercept.
Yeah, to, yeah. Like the, light speed into
the,
a different
yeah,
position.
Yeah, the number right. of things in that whole sequence like that the, make absolutely no sense from a tactical standpoint. Just, like, I know it drives a lot of people nuts.
The chase part felt like the plot was weak with it, but... And I also... I agree that
it was probably the most contrived part of the plot.
Right, and I like the general or the admiral that took over, but... Would it really have been that hard for her to say to Poe, like, oh, well, you know, this is the plan of what we're going to do or something? I mean, it's, right. I don't know.
Or take him aside and say, we're concerned about a mole or whatever. And yeah, it just feels like we're going to hold this over your head and we're never going to tell you anything about it because there's an audience.
She comes off as, like, ineffective or something. And meanwhile, like, ships are just falling back, getting blown up. And she's like, well, we're just going to keep plugging away. I don't
yeah,
really
we're
have a plan.
Yeah, but no, they did have a plan. It was to get to the salt planet.
I know, but you don't think they could have said that? Did it have emotional impact to you that they didn't tell you that? Because it's. I mean, they could have just told you that.
No, I didn't really care that they didn't
yeah,
tell
it's
me
not
that.
A good choice.
I see what you're saying. Okay. All right. So that's your low point. What does that do to your grade overall?
The thing that's funny is, like, through this whole discussion, it feels like I'm saying, like, all these negative things about it, but I still fucking love the movie.
I think if you... My problem is
you're
that...
You're clearly
you,
conflicted.
If you boil down the plot... To the key points, yes. I like those key points.
Right, yeah, yeah.
When you expand it into a
some of the details,
feature length movie, there's a bunch of the details where I'm just like, what
wait,
the
what? So what do you mean? Like, what are the key points then? Boiled down for you,
the key points: Rey trying to convince Luke to train her.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, it's all about Rey
and Kylo to turn.
Right, and Kylo to turn. I think those are very
I had
good.
A friend who said he feels like it's the movie is two halves. There's the rebel half and the Jedi half, and that he fucking loved the,
oh, that's interesting.
The Jedi half, yeah, and he hated half the awful. Rebel half.
Yeah, but you need the rebel half for some of the
yeah,
Jedi
sure,
half.
But you need it for the next movie.
At the core, right. the rebel plot is okay. The rebel plot is we're on dire straits here. We're trying to get the word out to the universe.
We are so decimated at this point. Help won't even come when we call for it.
Right. We are so...
By the very end, everyone can fit on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
that plot point is fine.
Even with the porks.
You need... Obviously, you need that in the second movie. You need the desperation. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
From a storytelling standpoint.
Yes, I think so.
So that's all good, but the execution of it, this random, we're just going to fly in a straight line for an hour and a half and see whether or not, you know, those guys can catch us. And
actually, I will say, because I was a little disappointed, because I almost felt like what they were setting up for, and I think it would have been awesome, is Battlestar Galactica Season 1. Jump.
That would have been cool,
they
yeah.
catch us. Uh-huh. Jump again. They catch us, you know.
Set the clock.
That would have been cool.
That would have been a better choice.
Okay.
Well, you know, yeah, we didn't have to have any part
I'll change
of the,
my career now.
We didn't have to have any part of the fuel thing. It could have just been jump, they caught us in a number of hours. Oh crap, what do? We jump again. They caught us again in a number of hours.
Right.
They can find us.
Right.
If they do that, there will immediately be like
the BSG comparisons.
Right. Or, there will be so many complaints about it being derivative and et cetera. But any Star Wars movie, evidently, there's just going
to
be complaints.
To every derivative.
That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Every derivative work ever made.
There's no new thing under the sun.
They're all out there. Yeah. Honestly, we run ahead of them while we try to run out of fuel until we can figure out a plan thing isn't new either.
Right.
I mean,
I'd probably vote for like a 6.
6. Trevor.
I'm okay with a 6, but I feel like it's giving it a little bit of fanboyism. But
I feel like fanboyism should bring it to a 7 because I said a 9.
I mean, truthfully, the plot is probably more like a 4.
6 it is.
All right, what's your next category?
Next
spell
category.
List is actually
special effects.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like it. Okay. Wow. Maybe I should grade last since we all know I'm going to say amazing things.
Okay. I mean, we can start high.
We're
negotiating here. This is a good start.
I'm on board with the 9 or 10, Josh.
I will go 10 then. All the way.
I have to know, is there anything you didn't like?
I did not
like special effects.
I did not like milking the...
Oh, milking the sneeches? You didn't like the sneeches?
No.
But the sneeches of the stars are the best kind of sneeches. And they didn't have stars upon theirs. It's a Dr. Seuss reference.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to remember which book you're... I can't remember. Obviously, I don't read enough Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, well, your children have grown past Seuss at this point. I mean, honestly, the Leia, the Greatest Jedi Master, is probably the weirdest special
The weakest.
Effect. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think the jump to light speed scene...
Amazing.
Looks amazing. The dead silence was amazing.
Right.
And then I thought the salt planet just...
Super cool.
Yes.
Kylo Ren's fight, the stage
burning behind them. Please and thank you. I feel like those three scenes are among some of the most visually stunning and...
Yeah, visually, the movie's quite brilliant.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, bringing Yoda puppet back, you get points for that.
Okay.
I will say the only... I, having not seen it twice like Jay has, it's a little hard for me to pin this one down. I will say the one thing, the only time that I felt like I broke out of my, visually broke out of watching it, basically, the quote-unquote fourth wall was broke, was the cooked porg. Like, his feet looked funny to me.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, that's fine.
He looked a little too plastic.
Yeah, he looked too plastic.
He looked too fake.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, honestly, I know there would have been somebody in Hollywood that would have hated this, but they could have cooked a real chicken and I would have been way more on board with that.
Oh, yeah.
Really weird plasticky thing. That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, the rest of it is visually is amazing. It's well done. The special effects are obviously off the charts. Like,
10 it is. Well done.
Okay. Next we have...
There's a couple times when Snoke is talking to her, I'm like,
sure.
The CGI is a little rough there.
Character development. So I have had...
you put this one in. You manipulator!
I have been fighting the good fight on social media. Like, if people want to say that they think the movie's bad, they didn't enjoy it, etc., fine. But anyone who is like, this movie didn't have any character development, you know what? Fuck you.
The only character that did not develop in this movie, honestly, let's be fair, is Hux.
You don't think Finn developed? Or you think Finn
did develop? I think Finn did develop. Finn did. I don't like how he developed. I don't think so.
I think we got the exact same Finn we had in the last show with very little.
And at the very end,
He was going to sacrifice himself.
Who knows why? He still had not overcome his cowardice, and it's like this is the time he's finally overcome it.
Okay. Okay.
So I will give character development an easy 8, Jay. I would accept the 9.
And I do think that if you, there's a lot of things that happen with Rey,
right.
Poe,
Luke,
tons of things.
The Vice Luke. Admiral.
Admiral Ackbar.
Kylo. Yeah, Ackbar had a great send-off. I mean, Ackbar got the send-off that Leia deserved.
Oh, yeah, he did.
It wasn't even a trap.
The part is I couldn't even shed a tear for him because I'm watching Leia flying through the space like Superman.
And you're like, save Ackbar!
She's like, no, I'm saving myself.
Yeah.
8 it is.
All right. Excellent.
There's some things I don't like about the character development here, but it's not because of the main characters. I think that Kylo Ren and Rey have obviously developed well, and I like where Luke went, and I like where Yoda went. I have issues with Finn. I have issues with Snoke. I have issues with
Rose.
No, I mean, I don't see her as a.
It's just because you don't care about Rose, you monster.
I could have. I felt like there could have been a storyline that was going on there that was more deep than what we got.
I don't actually care that much about Rose, to be honest with you. I was actually shocked by the whole romantic revelation thing.
That was awful. I was braced for a story about Rose. I was excited for one because we got to see her sister and the necklace.
Oh, right.
And I just thought it was going to be great. And it felt flat.
I was hoping they were going to be like the great-great-granddaughters of, what's the monk's name in Rogue One? Oh. I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me.
Cheer it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That would have been super cool.
Anyway, overall, I think it's good. There's some.
Trevor will accept our 8, Jay.
Some head scratchers.
Okay. Next category is child recruitment to the Star Wars universe. How much will this movie.
This is your Force impact replacement?
I'm just kidding.
Sure.
It is an impact on the Force.
Actually, I have an interesting question about that because this movie is rated PG-13.
It
right?
is. Yeah.
Oh, it was?
And, yes. Yeah. And I got done watching it. See, we have, you know, whatever. The Wheelers have, and it's my own fault, a hard rule. You don't watch PG-13 until you're 13, right? So my little guys, they have been minimally exposed to Star Wars. Like, tragically so, honestly.
Wait. Why haven't they seen the original?
They've seen the originals, but...
Well, then that's fine.
I don't feel like they've carried as much weight with them as their own Star Wars
would.
Was
The Force Awakens PG-13?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that part.
Well, I understand why it was. I don't understand why Last Jedi was.
And if you look at the...
They cut a guy in half.
If you look at the...
They milk the Sneetches.
They cooked a pork.
if you look at the rating underneath, it says... I think the only thing it says is sci-fi violence.
Huh.
Anyway. To be fair, the ratings have become more refined. I mean, if you go back and look at PG-13
I think the original trilogy would be PG-13 in this day and age.
I think so, you're right.
You know, so,
things that are PG now would have never got a PG rating when we were kids. Right. They would have been G.
Well, it feels like you don't even get PG ratings that often anymore.
Oh, you do all the time. Honestly. Shrek.
Yeah, well, they're cartoons.
Yeah, things that you and I, as 40-year-olds, think of as being
that should
G.
be a G, right.
Yeah, they're PG now. In fact, the G rating has basically disappeared.
So, if you don't have bizarre rules like at the Wheeler household, it feels like this would be a huge kid recruiter.
I honestly, I'm starting to feel a little guilty that I took my kids at this point. Here's the reason why. Because we have a similar rule, basically, that they can watch PG-13, but only after mom and dad have vetted it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it. I mean, just, well, come on, kids, we're going to see Star Wars.
Right, yeah. Well, that's what 99% of the human population does. Sure. Like, it's totally...
I denied them Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and my kids hated me for it.
When you vetted it, you were like, eh.
I mean, I vetted it, and I was just like, I really don't want to explain those sex jokes to the kids. And, you know, in the end, I was just like, it's not really worth it. I mean, the kids will live. They can wait.
Right.
To be fair, they saw it the other night. I finally gave in because my daughter begs and begs. And the problem is my daughter's 11 and she's just a very mature 11-year-old. I have no problem with most PG-13 movies for her. The problem is that the youngest, the 6-year-old, is like, oh, we're watching a movie.
Right.
And he is in there with the rest of us.
I've told Trevor this before. That's the only reason I'm grateful for our rule at my house, because now the older kids are like, no.
They're the enforcers.
Hey, little 6-year-old. Oh, yeah, that's a rule. You're right. Yeah, that's basically how it goes down now. And that's how the First Order gets founded.
I don't have kids. I don't know why I put this down here, but I'm...
I think it's an interesting question because there is definitely a very different, like, our view of Star Wars, I think, is very different than the people who are 10 years younger than us.
They got
introduced with the reintroduction of the Star Wars films and the new films. Like, I think they have a slightly different output or view of the films than I do. One of the reasons why I love the Ewoks is because I was that 7-year-old in the theater watching Ewoks.
Here's a story of how fucking old I am. I mean, some of the people in that are listening to this will be like, oh my God. But, you know, I remember when VHS came out, and I remember at first, like, no one really owned a VHS. You would, like, rent it at the video store. And eventually,
which were all mom and pop owned. There was no
big
ones, at least not locally here.
Yeah. And then eventually, like, we finally got a VHS and it was like this huge deal. And I recorded off of TV Star Wars and Karate Kid on the same tape. And I was,
that
I don't
must,
know how
must have been the greatest VHS ever.
It was. So, and I don't know how old I was, but there was this one, I was in, I'm assuming I was in school, or maybe it was just my sister was in school, but there was one summer where every day I watched Star Wars and The Karate Kid with my sister.
Oh, man.
And so
I'm getting teary-eyed. That sounds like an amazing summer.
I have watched, as a kid, a ton of Star Wars. And so, that's part of why I'm such a big fanboy, obviously.
And that's part of why you came with
the kid. But, you know, but I feel like if I had been watching The Force Awakens and this movie, I would have, I could have watched that back to back to back nonstop.
Yeah. So here's a important cultural difference I'm going to say between us, and because I have a similar story. My tape had different movies on it.
Okay.
Very similar story, but my children, at least, I'm sure your children are probably similar. They don't do that because they have access
to so much
stuff. Right. So my kids love Star Wars. I mean, my kids love Star Wars. Love it. But they don't, they've seen The Force Awakens maybe once. They've seen Rogue One probably three times, maybe twice. I'm not sure. And they don't really watch it. And it's Rogue One is available right now on Netflix.
But right, yeah.
Every time I pull up my Netflix queue, I feel guilty that I'm not watching it.
Right. Me too. But my kids, they don't even think about it. There's a million other things they can be watching right now, stuff that they've never seen before.
And there's a big part of me that, like, I'm kind of grateful that there's these movies that I've just watched a gazillion times.
Right.
Right. I mean, it shaped who we were as children. But I'm saying our children
and
are being
still am as an adult.
Right.
Yeah.
Our children are being shaped in different ways. And I don't think that this movie has enough gravitas amongst the children that they're actually going to go back and watch it three or four times. Honestly, that doesn't happen too often anymore, except for with like Frozen and.
Okay. Right. It seems like, on the Frozen scale to the.
Well, it seems like it is a younger child who is
susceptible
watching
to that.
Like a cartoon over and over.
I mean, I don't think so. I think that it takes a specific type of movie to get a child to watch it over and over and over again. So I don't know.
I don't.
I do think that
I
think this has a higher rating than the previous two movies, Rogue One and.
Yeah, well, Rogue One, I don't feel like it can even recruit kids, but
I feel like
you might be surprised.
Okay, it was way more serious.
I could be wrong on this, but it feels to me like. It may not have the replayability, but it's still going to be effective. Like you said,
my kids run
around
the house.
Your kids love
making the pork,
making pork noises,
and your kids love Star Wars. And I think that this is, the drug dealer has done a good job giving the highly addictive drug. They've taken their hit, and they're going to be coming.
I think that of the non-original trilogy movies, so prequels and these, the ones we're talking about now, these three newest.
Yes.
This is the best of all of those.
I agree. For recruiting kids, absolutely. 100%.
Okay, so.
So I think that means it should be an 8, at least.
No, and see, that's where I disagree. Because I think all those other ones were poor at doing it.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I'm going to say it's
I think
six.
That you're wrong with The Force Awakens. The reason you don't like Force Awakens is because of New Hope. And.
The kids don't know a new.
The
hope.
Kids don't care about,
or that. They don't recognize that.
Right. It is
those
a
serious.
It
parallels.
Is a newer, better version.
The only reason I
of
said,
New Hope.
No, yeah. The only reason I said, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with my kids have watched A New Hope a bajillion times.
Oh.
They've watched The Force Awakens once, and they really don't care about whether or not they watch it again.
Okay.
Your number.
We'll go with the 7.
All right, 7 it is. Way to break the tie.
I will say the biggest reason why that's so is because Darth Vader is an infinitely better villain than Kylo Ren will ever be. And my kids love Darth Vader.
I still don't know how I feel about him smashing his helmet up.
Kylo Ren smashing his helmet up? I don't care.
Next.
Okay, next we have enjoyment.
It's a 10 for me.
That's fine. one of the things I'll say about the film is that I still loved it, but there's parts of it where it's like,
what is
like
going
I like there? I like what you're intellectually what you're doing with this plot point, but I'm not sure if I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. So I probably sound like to the listeners that I hated this movie. I didn't. But I watch it and it, like it, I feel like a lot of the things in it get a pass because it's Star Wars.
Right. Yeah.
Oh right.
I watched something afterwards and. I can't remember what I watched, but it was, anyway, it was a movie that was, oh, I watched Mad Max Fury Road. And I was like, I mean, that seems unfair. Basically back to back. And I'm like, Mad Max Fury Road, one of the best movies that's probably been made in the last 30 years. And like, this movie did not get, I mean, it got a lot of buzz, but like amongst the nerd crowd, like they don't necessarily, I don't know. I just, I'm like, if the Last Jedi had been this quality of a movie, the people's minds would have been lost. It would have been the greatest movie ever.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would have watched it 20 times in the theater.
Yeah. And it just feels like we're giving some of these things quite a bit of a pass.
That's because it's Star Wars. Yeah. Okay.
I'm okay with that.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but what's your enjoyment? What's your number, I mean?
Less than Mad Max Fury Road.
sounds to me like Mad Max Fury Road is your 10.
Mine's probably like a 7.
Mad Max Fury Road isn't a 10 for me, but it's certainly way up there.
That's fair, Jay.
I would say that this is probably, I'd go with a 7.
Okay.
There's certainly a lot of movies.
So with Josh, we'll go up to an 8.
That's good.
What? It's
appropriate.
Okay, so we've got two more. First, we're going to do grade.
Okay.
We're like a letter grade?
Yes.
Here's the thing. I'm realizing so far, now I want some more viewings.
After more discussions?
Yeah, but I'm going to hot take this right now. Okay. Of the new Star Wars movies, not prequels, but so Rogue One, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, this is my favorite.
Okay. I would need to go review all three, honestly.
That's fair.
Because
you're going into the next category.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the grade's an A- for me.
Oh, sorry.
The minus is only for minor nitpicks that I understand. I totally understand the people's nitpicks. I think that I have a personality failing where the nitpicks just cannot.
I would bring me down. Say that, like, the movie itself is probably in like the B range for it. My personal love for Star Wars probably raises it above there.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of funny because I have a friend who basically loves every Star Wars or nerd movie that comes out, and he just gushes about them, right, all of them. And he did not gush about this.
What?
One. Yeah, he actually has.
Is this
he
Rick?
Likes, yeah, Rick yeah. likes it, but he has.
He's like conflicted. His
relationship status has changed to it's complicated.
Yeah. And he reminds me. We have a friend who passed away a few years ago, Wade, who loved everything.
Yeah, Wade would have loved this.
He never would give anything a negative review. And Rick, in his movie reviews, reminds me much of Wade. And he just never hates anything. And he has a complicated relationship with this movie. So
he does like it better on the second viewing.
Yeah.
Well, there you
maybe
go.
I need to see it a second time.
I need to go see it a couple more times.
But I'm going to give it a B+.
That's fair.
So that's probably the final grade is the B+.
Sure. That's fine.
All right.
Okay. I did enjoy it.
The final category.
There's so many things.
The final category.
Like, what?
You're going to have to rank from 1 to 9.
Oh, geez.
Among
all of them?
No. We're just going to say, you're going to say what number.
Where Last Jedi falls.
Last Jedi falls.
Oh, geez. But I'm going to have to rank all of them to figure that out.
Well, probably yes. I can start with myself because I've already put thought into this.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So when I, after the first viewing, I probably had it at
4. My guess
six.
Is 4. Oh, 6. Wow. Six. Wow.
But it was a 6 with a
a conflicted 6.
A no, six it on was a scale 6 of 6 to 10.
Yeah.
A 6 of it's my 6th favorite Star Wars, but that still means that I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I get you.
After the second viewing, I think I probably bumped it up to 5th place.
Huh. Okay.
And you guys would absolutely disagree with the movie that
with what you replaced it with?
With what bumped down.
Oh, I have to know.
Did you bump down, Rogue One?
Oh no! I love Rogue One.
Did you?
New Hope.
What? You bent down New Hope.
Yes.
Weird. Chain Attack. Civil War. What the hell? That is not even possible.
What you've done is completely okay, Jay.
You're dead to me too. Then.
I think so. For my ranking, I would probably Empire would be my first.
Is number
place.
One. Yep.
I would probably put Return of the Jedi as number 2. I would probably put either Rogue One or The Force Awakens is my 3 and 4.
Okay.
And then 5 is this one, and 6 is New Hope.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So I will give you mine right now.
Okay.
It's Empire. It is probably Return of the Jedi, although there's strong debate in me between Return and New Hope. Return of the Jedi, probably because I don't have many childhood memories, but one of them that stuck with me is riding on my father's shoulders into the theater to see Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. So. And then it's The Last Jedi.
So third.
It's third, yeah.
Okay.
And then I think I put New Hope below Last Jedi.
Really?
And then, man, I think I put Force Awakens above Rogue One now. Like,
on further viewings of Rogue One, it lost steam for me somehow. Really? And I don't know why. I want to go back and watch it again. See, this is why I feel guilty when it shows up on my Netflix feed. I'm like, do I need to watch it again to see you do, if something's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Like, I literally fell asleep on like my second viewing of Rogue One in the movie.
Huh.
So I'm like, am I just a really old man? Or anyway, so.
And why not both?
True. So three. I'm putting it as my third. Last Jedi, number three. Contending for two, frankly, because I haven't watched Return of the Jedi in a long time.
It's so good.
Is it really still so good?
The stuff with, like, the confrontation with Vader and Luke. And,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, this is pretty rough. I'm going to have to put Return of the Jedi first, so that's always been my film, and I'm sure I have some nostalgia, because same thing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I saw it in the theater. Was old enough to actually remember.
There's no
it.
Judgment for nostalgia in this room.
I would probably go.
So fuels us now.
Empire second. I would probably go New Hope third, and then it just gets really muddy from there. And I don't have a great answer.
So what I notice is the prequels don't get out of the bottom nine for us, do they?
No.
So there are scenes in the prequels.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool scenes
that get out of the bottom nine.
But I'll also say that, like we said on this movie, that there's some amazing scenes in it, and I feel like the amazing scenes in this blow away the amazing scenes in the prequels.
Yeah. No. 100%.
I'm still a pretty big fan of the...
Give me the most amazing scene in the prequels.
I mean, it's got to be the fight between Qui-Gon Jinn and
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
Interesting.
Right?
Doesn't it? I don't know. I don't know if it has to be or not.
Anyway, I mean, that's neither here nor there, because we're still talking about the bottom of the barrel.
It feels like the fight with Obi-Wan and Anakin on the magma planet.
You were the chosen one.
It should have been, but the problem is that I just couldn't get past the direction or maybe the acting. I don't know what it was. I didn't have any emotional investment in that scene. I'm gonna blame Lucas and call it the direction of Hayden
Christensen.
I'm gonna say that I'm not gonna blame him. I'm gonna blame Lucas.
Right.
Regardless of what it is, I didn't have any emotional investment. I didn't care about him at that point. It just didn't mean anything to me. Okay. And it ended with the stupid, and I'm just like, whatever.
You're right. Worst snow ever.
Is the end of Rogue One the best Vader scene?
Yes. Yes. 100%.
So I'm probably going to throw Rogue One in at number four.
Okay.
As
a fact, now you've made me remember why I did love that movie.
That's such a good scene.
That scene is amazing. I mean, that is literally the redemption of Vader as a character.
I'm gonna probably have a hard time without reviewing Force Awakens and The Last Jedi.
Of where you would put one or
five or six.
But that's what you're saying is those two.
I'm also saying that either one of them, because I'm saying that I'm gonna see The Force Awakens in a completely different light.
Oh yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Now that I watch it again, and we're seeing the original trilogy in a different light. I mean, if I had only seen the New Hope, it would be different than if I, you know, seeing all of them.
Right.
Well, or watching Empire Strikes Back before Return of the Jedi.
I mean, Rogue One on its own, if I didn't know anything the rest of the story, I don't know where it would sit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right now, I'm going to just say they're tied at the fifth spot.
Okay.
But I think that may change. I actually think my rating of Force
Awakens... That's the kind of rating Finn would give. Good job.
Yeah, I'm a coward. I'm going to take this pod and fly out. Anyway, I think The Force Awakens might actually go up for me
on a subsequent viewing of it, having seen The Last Jedi.
No. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
But I don't know.
I am a Star Wars fanboy. I want to love Star Wars, and I do love the new movie. And so, you know, I'm sure that if, for people who are not Star Wars fanboys, I can understand that there are things in the movies that you're probably like, what the fuck is even going on here? But
yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of people who never saw the original trilogy as kids. They saw them much later and probably looked at them and thought these movies haven't aged well or whatever they thought. And like, they just don't get it. I can understand that.
Yeah.
For a lot of us in this nerd culture, we live and die around the release of Star Wars films.
Okay, so... Before we get to that, Josh, do you have a dad joke for us?
Yes.
Please tell me that it's like a Vader dad joke.
Oh, I wish it was Vader. Oh. Dang it. It's close, though.
Okay.
A ham sandwich walks into a bar on Mos Eisley and orders a beer. The bartender says, sorry, we don't serve food here.
Trevor, do you have anything for us?
I was inspired by you to pull up a Vader dad joke.
Nice. Okay,
excellent.
Except for that is not exactly what I thought it was.
That's not appropriate.
Because that's ever stopped Trevor.
I know.
Well, some of these are images, and they don't, you know. This one has, like this one has Luke saying, "I'm not afraid," and then Vader says, "Hello, not afraid, I'm dead."
One of my favorite images is it's a Facebook image, and it says Luke Skywalker likes this underneath, and then it has the little Facebook thumbs up image, except the hand's cut off. So did you find one?
I mean, they're all the same. They're
okay.
They're like, I'm never going to join you. Hi, never going to join you. I'm your father.
Okay, so repeat ad infinitum. Well. Nice. Well, that's
excellent. Okay. So we're going to kick off the start of 2018 with a bang, and we'll actually do War Machine content on the next episode.
I thought you were going to be so bold as to promise a battle report there.
I do think we'll do a battle report in January.
I have faith in us. I want to believe.
Excellent. Well, on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.